Welcome back, church family, to this episode of the Deeper Podcast. We're going to be finishing up Philippians chapter 4 and looking at joyful generosity. What does it look like to be joyfully generous with God, with others, as well as ourselves? And this week, we're joined again by Doug. Doug,
what
welcome
up?
Back.
Thank you.
Repping the KU Jayhawks.
You know it.
Love it.
Woohoo. Best all ever. Three Jayhawk yeah. fans right here.
I know, all three Jayhawk fans.
Pretty rare among staff to have three for three. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Amy's been tainting this, you know, a little bit all yeah. for weeks.
Yeah.
And then we have Keelan. Welcome.
Hi.
So glad you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
So what were you doing last week?
I was sleeping in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you had very little sleep last week.
Yes. Yeah. I was in Bangalore, India last
wow.
week, which was awesome.
Well, tell us a little bit about that trip. How was that?
That's a big, tall order to describe in the 7 days of what happened last mm-hmm. week. But it was a joy to be able to partner.
Yeah.
You know, to partner with brothers and sisters across the world. And I think that's one of the biggest joys I got is we would, so we did a VBS from 9 a.m. to 3 each day.
And what was the temperature each day?
100 degrees.
At least. Yeah.
So it felt very, very warm. There was one day that there was overcast. I think that was Monday. And we're like, oh, this isn't too bad. and then it got through the week and we're like, oh, we are, this is hot. Mm. This is very hot. So, but no, it was really fun. We did a student activity thing in the evenings. And we also got to see a village with Krupa where, we had gone 4 years ago with the church that he had in that village. And he kind of talked about some vision of what to do with some widows there and different things. So it was a really good trip. Really good trip.
And who all went on the trip with you?
We had my husband, Travis. And then we also had Shelby Kingsley and Haley Grant.
Okay.
So great group.
So
great group.
So your spouse and then two people you serve with in ministry.
Yes.
Oh, how fun.
So fun.
I know I got to take Paige one time on a trip around the world to go visit our partners. And it was such a sweet time to be able to have her on that trip with me and be able to just live out the gospel together and just see so many things. How is it having Travis on the trip?
It was really, really fun to have him along. And he also, it was fun to see him serve the Lord in that way and just get the same joy. And by the end of the week, he was talking about, hey, the next time we do this. So that warmed my heart. And it was just a fun thing to do as a couple.
Well, thank you for going and for leading that trip and just being a huge blessing. And I know you're probably going to talk about more as we go into some of the questions today. But if there's others that are watching the podcast and are thinking you'd like to go on one of these trips, we call them transformational trips because we believe that, we do add some value when we go and we try to be a blessing. But we recognize that it is as or even more transformational for us that go on these trips. And so if you'd like to find out more about future trips, you can reach out to myself and ultimately set you up with Bob Stoller, who's our global outreach coordinator, because we've actually got a good number of people that are asking more about going on trips. And
where do you guys go now? Yeah.
So we go to visit partners. So India can be one of those places, but we also have gone to the Philippines. We got a trip coming up to the Philippines. We've gone different places in Central America. The youth go on a trip. But we also, Lifeline has trips. They take places, all kinds of locations around the world that we can partner with them on. We have other organizations that we partner with to do medical trips. Mm. So we can actually, even if it's not a fellowship trip that we're running, we had three or four people that were nurses or teachers or had a certain place they wanted to go to. We have partnerships that we can connect them up with.
Okay.
So
cool. Yeah. That's good to know.
And can I add something real quick? Is when you talked about it being a blessing, Krupa, who was the head of the ministry that we were visiting, he said, hey, that was such a blessing to have you guys. And we all told him it was a more of a blessing to us. Yeah. And so it does. There is a transformation that does happen in that.
So. Well, it's kind of a good segue for us to dive into what we're talking about today. We're in Philippians chapter 4, and this topic of joyful generosity and generosity. Are we still recording? I saw you look over.
Is it supposed to be red or is yellow the right thing?
Yellow's the right thing.
Okay, great. Yep, we're doing
good. Okay.
Yay.
I had to refresh this before we started the podcast. So we're a little nervous whether or not it's taking. So hopefully you're enjoying this right now. So we're talking about generosity. And you know, every week we talk about generosity, how we give our best because the gospel is worth it. And as a church, we want to be a generous church, a church where people within our church family are giving of their giftings, of their time, of their financial resources, of all the different things that God has given us to help see people find and follow Him. Like whether that's on the weekend with the children that are in your children's ministry, or whether it's people in community groups, or our neighbors, or the neighbors of the people that are watching this podcast, or you know, in our community, you know, homelessness has been a big topic that's been going on. How are we generous to help reach out to that community? Ukraine refugees, India, all these different places. So we talk about generosity in a very broad context, but this particular passage zones us in looking at how to be generous financially, and so we're going to be asking some questions that revolve around that. And the first question, I think, can be some of our first initial response. It can be a fear of, I don't know how I feel about being asked to give more. I feel like things are already tight, things are already stretched. So the question I'll just open us with is, as you listen to the message and as you've done the readings, what fears do you have when it comes to generosity, and specifically generosity when it comes to your finances?
Yeah.
What's your guys' first response?
Go for it.
Yeah. There you go. So my fear has always been security, and will God take care of every single need I have? And that is something that has always been resonated throughout my life, of just wanting to be secure, wanting to feel good, not be out in my comfort zone, and put that full trust in Him. And so whether it's giving financially or serving somewhere, all those, it's always that. The security is in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm. And that's some of your story has shaped that.
Yes.
And so that has been something that's been a theme in your life that God's had to grow you in.
Yes.
Of how to step beyond that. I know one of the stories that you love is the widow's mite.
Yes.
How has that spoken into that fear?
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is the widow's mite. And it's funny because it's such a short story.
Yeah.
Like, okay, remind me again
where in scripture is that?
Oh my gosh, Jeremy.
So sorry.
Keelan, where is it?
Luke.
One of the Gospels.
Do you have your
yes.
Luke
12?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's sorry. A test. Keep, you keep talking about it,
okay.
And I'll look it
we'll
up.
We'll see if I'm right. Yeah. I don't know. It's either Luke 10 or 12. I could be wrong. Okay. And I probably am. That is one of my favorite stories. And the reason that is one of my favorite stories is I grew up with a single mom. And just having to trust that God is going to provide each and every day. And just looking back on that, of knowing that He did.
Yeah.
He did. And so when you see here her in this story, is there is so much more going on than what's just said, of just her being on her own. She's a female, and having just to really trust that God is going to provide. And she puts every single thing she has, her entire security, and gives that to the Lord. And so that is something that I definitely resonate with.
Yeah.
Yes. Luke 21.
21.
It's 12.
12, you know, reverse.
That's yeah. Close.
She's dyslexic. We knew that. So that's fine. That's like deep and real and sweet. And when I think about my own obstacles to giving, it just seems like shallow and selfish and superficial, to be honest. So I have a wife who wants to give all the time, more than we do. And in our breakdown of household roles, generally I do more of the budgeting and watching over like how much finances we have and planning for the future and all that stuff. So she's always like, we should give to this and we should give to this. And my first reaction to her for so many years was one of just like sucking in the air and like, yeah, we could give to that, but do we want to? And we're already giving enough. And it's, and I'm like, okay, so why? I remember it was probably like 10 years in of her being like, hey, like, why do you always have a bad reaction when I come to you with like something to give? And so I had to sit there and think of the, okay, what is it? And I think for me, it was less security and it was more like, I want control. I just want to be able to buy what I want when I want it. So there's a totally selfish motive. And then there's a piece of provision for my family in the future. But if I'm being totally honest, the selfishness is a bigger piece of that for me. And so it's just that desire of like, man, I worked, I earned this. And then there's that entitlement piece of like, I should be able to use it for myself or what I want to use it in. And giving really, my experience over time has been, your first reaction is wanting to hold tighter to what you have. And then the realization is once you actually give some, you feel this sweet release. And once you release yourself from the power that it has over you, you're like, oh, I do want to give. I want to give more than I'm already giving. And I feel so much better when I do give than I thought I would.
Yeah.
So instead of feeling more scarcity, I feel way more freedom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is so interesting because typically you think that money buys you freedom.
Yeah.
In the sense of if you have money to spend on, you know, hiring out different stuff, now you have freedom with your time, or you have freedom to choose which restaurant you want to go to, or freedom options. Which car. Yeah.
Yep.
It gives you that. But and from a biblical perspective, it actually flips that.
Yes. So true.
I noticed that when I was in India this past week of, All of these children are either orphaned or single parent homes, and Krupa and his wife are giving up every single day, and his staff, of their life. There's no break. Mm-hmm. It's every single day, and just seeing the joy on these kids' faces in the Lord versus what they have, because India's the average salary is $200 a month, and so it was so cool for us to see the joy on Krupa and Hannah and his staff, who are making little, and all the kids in that childcare center. And it's just because they're getting together and worshiping the Lord. Like, it's just the joy that they have. And I had a conversation with one of the youth helpers. She's a teacher. And she was talking about, she asked us if in the United States, if we could share the gospel freely. And in India, they're not able to do that. And so I told her, yes, like, yeah, we're able to do that. And you could just see the sadness on her face that she's not able to share that within India as freely. But then I told her, I said, but we're also not good at that. Like, we're missing that joy of being, where we're free to do that. And we're missing that joy component of partnering and giving and sharing the gospel freely. So it was just a cool picture of,
and just joy. So people don't think that we just sent you to a place where you could get thrown in jail.
Yes.
You are absolutely correct in what you shared.
What the
law is you're not allowed to proselytize to those that aren't Christians. And so if someone comes into, in this case, a community center that's Christian, then you're technically not proselytizing.
Right.
But if you're out in your neighborhood on the corner street or that type of thing, that's where you could get in trouble.
Yes.
We made sure Keelan and her team were getting taken
Thank you for clearing that up. We could not just go share anywhere, but where we were at, we could share. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like it's perfect timing, though, for us to have this conversation. I remember whenever I take students to Latin America, basically, the number one thing in our evening debriefs, hey, what stood out to you? What do you feel like God's impressing upon you? Is always the same, which is these kids are full of so much more joy than the kids in America or than I am, but they have so little, right? And it's that idea that happiness, joy does not come from material stuff. And it's a reminder every time you go there and you're like, oh man, I forgot. Yes, this is so true. But then you come back and you're sucked into the kind of like worldview and culture that we live in. And so it's perfect that you have that reminder fresh for us now, because it's a reminder to me as a 40-year-old who's been on tons of mission trips and seen people have more joy all over the world. And look at Paul in prison having more joy than I do with freedom and excess money, right? And it's just like, oh, I keep forgetting what the important thing is. Yeah, it's not this.
Gospel.
Yep. Yeah, mine is similar to what you guys shared. So when Joe, in his message, he's going to talk about Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And as he reads that, then he asks the question of, will God continue to provide? And so that's where I can have a lack of faith in that of, man, things are getting more expensive. And Judah, our son, just requires a little more attention at home. So my wife's working less. So things are getting more expensive and our income's going down. So how do we make this all work? And generosity is that abundance mindset. And it's so easy in this season to have that scarcity mindset and think, this is not the season for me to give more. This is the season for me to prioritize my family, making sure all their things are provided for and our stress level's less and all this kind of stuff. And trusting that God has enough to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And so as he's opening up those opportunities to give generously, that he's going to help make sure our family is provided for and taken care of as well.
Yeah.
So I know Joe ended the sermon with those three points of kind of like, how do we grow in joyful generosity. Those were find your pleasure or your treasure in Christ, partner with others by making room to give, and then practice contentment by making like room to give as well. So out of those, finding your treasure in Christ, partnering with others in the gospel, and then practicing contentment by making room to give, which of those do you guys feel like you need to grow in the most?
As soon as Joe gave the message, it like resonated which one needed to be for me. So that was good. The practice contentment.
Okay.
And so, you know, our stories shape things. And so I grew up in a home that was more upper class. And so when in this life and kind of where I'm at now, I'm definitely more middle class. And so how am I content as, again, my wife's working less, things are more expensive with where we live and projects we do or don't do, cars that we drive, just all those different things in life that don't matter, right? God's going to provide for all the main things. And so how am I content with what God has entrusted to me and provided for me and our family, and not just be thinking about the next thing that's coming my way? Because if I'm focused too much on the future, then I'm going to miss out on all the things that God is providing for me right now in the present and all the opportunities to be generous right now in the present. So that was definitely where I'm at. How am I content with what God has given me, even my position, all those types of things within my life right now.
Okay. So before Keelan answers, I want you to be thinking, is there a way in your life or a story experience where you gave something away or were generous with something and then felt more contentment on the back end, like something specific or whatever, but don't answer that now. Anyway, Keelan, what about you?
mine would be contentment, too. And I think part of that is because like when you read that in scripture, he was content, whether he was hungry mm-hmm. or not, whatever circumstances. And, I think that is just something that resonates with me, but I also think in some ways that is just, the consumeristic mindset mm-hmm. of what we have in our culture of just nothing is ever enough. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of mine is contentment as well. And part of that too is like, growing up in poverty, it's as I become an adult, it's almost like I want to fill that void. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of the opposite reason as Jeremy. But yeah, mine is definitely contentment.
Mm. Okay. Jeremy?
Back to the question.
Yeah.
There's a young man that I've been able to walk life with for a long time. He's a senior now and he's about to graduate. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where he was struggling to get a job because he didn't have transportation to get to places. And so I partnered with him he raised half the money and I helped provide our family provide the other half for him to be able to purchase a vehicle and be able to get that going. Mm-hmm. And that was the same time that we were adopting Lydia, our daughter. And I still don't know why, but I don't know if it was because it was like right around COVID or something, but we didn't raise the full amount for her adoption.
Yeah.
So Judah's on the flip side through fundraising and stuff, like fully paid for. For Lydia's, we were short. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to help this young man. And then mm-hmm. also we ended up getting a loan to help us. So we've had to kind of pay that off each month. So that just kind of made our finances tighter until we were able to pay that off. So that was a sacrifice that we're like, well, we want to help this young man. We're also going to adopt.
Yeah.
And so
How
do we do that while, still making it work? So
beautiful. Yeah. What a great little season of life where you had to like really trust. I mean, like,
yeah, but really it turned out so great. I mean,
yeah.
I actually got to spend some time with this young man, two nights ago. Oh. And him coming over to spend time with Judah and Lydia was so sweet. Mm. We played basketball outside and just all kinds of things. And he's been a part of our family for a long time. And then obviously Lydia. So those sacrifices have been worth it. And then just need to trust God in the midst of not getting overwhelmed with the stress of, okay, our margins like this right now, what are we going to do?
So, yeah.
Cool.
I kind of want to throw a curveball.
Do it.
No. Is that okay? Okay. No. Is that what you said? No. So one of the things when I have this generosity conversation, one of the things that gnaws at me a little bit is picturing the widow's mite story, mm-hmm. picturing the stories about selling everything to get the treasure, mm-hmm. and that concept of, okay, well, how much is not enough to give, but like I know what we give now And I also know that contentment would be like, I could have way less than I have now and find contentment because Jesus is enough. So how do you decide like where you're going to stop? Like, how do you feel comfortable stopping at any point less than giving like 95% of what you have? Like, how would you talk through somebody who's like feeling the, either guilt, shame, pull, something of like, man, according to these stories in the Bible, I should be giving way more than the 10% I give to the church or 15% or something like that. How do you work through that?
Let me add a curveball to that curveball. Okay, so in addition to how do you figure out the amount, how do you get joy when right now it's really easy to just automate your giving?
Oh man, that's so good.
That's hard. Yes.
I struggle. I struggle with both of those.
That's perfect. We were having a giving conversation this week, 2 days ago. And one of the ideas is like, okay, we would never do this, but what if we stopped the ability to automatically withdraw so that every time you gave, you thought through it, it was intentional, and you hopefully felt the joy of that? Because right now, I automate 100% of my giving, whether it's missionaries or church or it's everything is automatic, right?
Unless if it's a one-time gift or something.
Also, Travis and I struggled with the automated giving with Ashton because he didn't see us do the physical giving.
You're not modeling, or it doesn't seem like you're modeling.
Yes. Yeah. And so as he got older, having to be more intentional of, no, we actually, like, this is what we do. This is part of being a believer.
Because when I grew up, my parents, they had the check. Yeah. I brought the little coin. Yes. I don't know if you guys did that, but I did that.
So good.
Yes. But we were worried that he'd miss out on that example, like the example. So we were always open with, hey, we are giving.
It's like, we're in God's word. I just automate it. That's why you don't see it.
We pray. You just don't see it.
Yeah, it's automated. That is a great point.
Do you have an answer for that? That's such a good point.
Prayer. Here's where I've gotten to. She's going to have a better answer than me. as far as the automating thing, I guess I've just tried to be more intentional to celebrate or recognize the times when, whether it's fellowship or other places that I give to, share stories of transformation. Mm-hmm. And I try to sit down, pause, and really be like, God, thank you for letting me be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So instead of maybe just being like, oh, that was a cool story, or they didn't really need me to help them with that, being like, oh no, like, I am a part of this. I'm a part, going back to Philippians, I'm a partner with them in the gospel in this. And so if I'm giving Young Life and I'm at a Young Life benefit, I really try to be like, wow, I'm so thankful I get to be a part of this. Hmm. Or as I get updates from missionaries, I try to make sure I read all of them, give a little response and just feel like I'm a part of it instead of even just automating the stories. That's all the farther I've gotten.
Yeah. What do you mean by prayer,
Keelan? I sometimes in my history, I've just made decisions on a whim.
Yeah.
And I've had to be more intentional, I would say, within the last 5 to 10 years of welcoming Christ into the center of decisions. And there's also, you talked about you and Lee, Travis and I, there was times that we wouldn't agree on what our tithe was,
would give to,
the amount, those things. Yeah, yeah. And so we really, it's more about us praying and coming together as a couple on that. Mm-hmm. Because we can so easily just make decisions. Mm-hmm. But I think once you welcome Christ into it, you get a little bit more clarity. The other thing too is it's a sacrifice. I mean, giving is always a sacrifice, whether it's the widow's mite, or where we see it as not much, or, it's thousands of dollars. There's always a sacrifice included in that, but then there's always joy on the other side.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, thanks for that curveball. Got good quick.
The amount is tough. I mean,
is always tough.
Because, in the Old Testament, you see 10%.
Yeah.
And my brain kind of I like a number. Like, okay, yes. I can hit that target.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, it's generosity and it's.
Yeah, it's just the Sermon on the Mount. It's all about your heart. Yeah. Heart. So I was like, oh man, oof, that's worse. I wish you would just give me a specific percent. I could do that. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Rich Young, you ruler time. No. Yeah.
Did you answer the last question?
Yeah, sure. I did. Keep going. I didn't answer it.
No, because he threw the curveball.
Yeah, that was my way of getting out of it. You're not supposed to be paying that good of attention. Probably.
We could tell you. Do you want us to answer?
Yeah. No. I dare
That's
you.
A, good way.
A whole new level of vulnerability on this podcast. I'm definitely not going to say contentment because both of you guys did.
That's why I struggled because he said it first. Right. And I'm like,
poop. Why do you think I tried to jump in so fast?
probably finding my treasure in Christ. It's the fundamental first step in this. Like if you don't find Christ as your primary treasure, then everything else is going to tempt you away from that and makes generosity super hard because you have competing values. And so for me, it's how do I start with my money? Like when I get it's automatic in and automatic out. But when I get the paycheck, it's okay. How do I start with the mindset of this is not mine? This was God's and I shouldn't have this anyway. So what can I do to give it away? Instead of my mindset is always I earned it. What do I get to spend this on now? And then how much do I have to give away? And so I need to find my treasure in Christ and start there. And I think everything else would be, again, this is why Lee is so much better at it than I am. But everything flows out of that heart. And so I just need to probably start with that. Thanks for making me answer, Jeremy. Cool.
I feel like I had something I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was going to be.
It probably wasn't something. That good anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Probably wasn't. Probably just a toss away. Oh, actually, no, I do remember what it was.
Ooh, let's see. We get to evaluate.
So, yes, please, scoring sheets. So whether you're in a community group or whether you're just listening to this podcast and you're processing through these questions, we kind of went a little bit on the, you know, like the fears and where we need to grow, a little more the negative side. Mm-hmm. I would just encourage you, Doug asked me a question, a follow-up of, you know, where have you done this positively? So it's an encouragement to other people as you share stories of how you've stepped out in faith, how you've been generous, how God has worked through your fears, and how you're living in joy in this area of generosity. So I encourage you also share those positive stories in your group or those that you're processing this with. Because we're always going to be growing in this area. And so continue to...
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. It was worth it.
Glad you said it.
I'm going to wrap it up then while I stay on top.
I think it was a 9.9.
Ooh, I'm the Russian judge.
I'm
super tough.
Jesus is the only one that's perfect. Yes. Keelan, would you close our time in prayer?
Absolutely. God, we're just so thankful for the reminder on the generosity of the Philippians. And God, we just pray that we can be a church like that, that we can be people that joyfully give and give with cheerful hearts. God, I just pray for each one of the community group leaders that are listening and that as everyone meets in small groups, that they can have great discussions of just being able to be vulnerable, but also find the joys in where they have given. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Doug, Keelan, thank you for joining. Thank you so much, church family, for being a part of this episode of the Deeper Podcast. We look forward to see you all next time.